pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill with you. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here in front of a pretty big weekend for Mariners baseball. It is Fan Fest weekend. If you've been to Fan Fest, you know what a great time it is, and it's going to be a fun weekend at Safeco Field Saturday and Sunday. We're going to preview Fan Fest in just a couple of minutes with Mariners broadcaster Aaron Goldsmith. He'll be at Fan Fest this weekend among players and coaches, front office, former players. It's going to be great. So we'll talk about that coming up in a couple minutes. There is a montage I want to get to. I never played my final Ken Griffey Jr. Hall of Fame career montage. So I'm going to play that for you. We'll probably play it again during his Hall of Fame weekend coming up in July, but I don't want to wait that long. So I'm going to play that for you, Ken Griffey Jr.'s Hall of Fame celebration. So that comes up in a couple of minutes. Yesterday was media day in front of Fan Fest, and some pretty interesting comments. We'll talk about it a little bit with Aaron Goldsmith, but we'll hear from Jerry Dipoto coming up. We'll hear from the skipper, Scott Servais, coming up. And also, we'll hear from trainer Rick Griffin about some health updates. That's pretty interesting. So that's coming up as well. And finally, I'm so happy I'm bringing you the first of these, but I've had a few different projects I've worked on in the off season, and it's working on them. I've delved into the archives, deep into the archives, and I have found some gold. And I get feedback all the time whenever I play a Dave Niehaus read. And for you that have listened to the podcast for a while, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Dave Niehaus just reading poetry, reading stories, telling stories, just different things. And I found a whole new batch, and I'm pretty excited about them. So the first one that is going to come up at the very end of the podcast is Dave Niehaus talking about his introduction to baseball. It's sensational. So this is a full podcast. Glad you're here. I can't wait. We're getting closer and closer to spring training, which just means the podcast will come up more and more often until we get to the regular season. And then we're back every single weekday during the regular season. So we'll kind of ramp up as the season gets closer, which is exciting. But this will be a fun weekend, and here to talk about it, it's Aaron Goldsmith.
To the sixth, all even at two, and for the play-by-play, here's Aaron.
They're booing me, Rick.
Not you.
That was right on cue.
If they knew you, they would never boo you, buddy.
1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Oh, did he get tied up? That was dirty from Felix.
Picks up the dirties, washes them, and brings them back fresh.
And we got Aaron Goldsmith here, hair just glistening in the sunlight, so it's pretty distracting.
I'm a happily married man with a child on the way, and I love Katy Perry. That is me in a nutshell, and I talk about the Mariners on the radio every night, so
kind of let it eat.
Oh, breaking news, the bees are still there. You look up above the mound, and it looks like you're staring up to the mothership, like you could be beamed up at any moment. That white roof with all the circles and the scaffolding.
Way out of here to right field. Thank you very much.
All right, now we get a chance to sit down with popular Mariners broadcaster Aaron Goldsmith. It's been a long time since you have been on the podcast. Welcome back. It's great to have you back.
Gee, man, it's like putting my feet into that cozy pair of slippers. It's fantastic to be back on the podcast.
Am I the slippers, or is the podcast the slippers?
the theme song, the intro music, that's the slippers.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously.
I keep thinking I'll update it, but it's so hard because it's just so good.
Well, it's dynamic, Gary, just like yourself and the podcast overall, I would say.
Right. So this is going to be the first of, I think, our a few visits that we'll have together before the start of the regular season. And it's a big day. It's a big weekend for the Mariners. So I want to talk about that a little bit. But you were over at Safeco Field today, and I know you saw quite a bit. Very interesting day. What did you see and what interested you today at Safeco Field? Or I guess yesterday. Yesterday at Safeco.
Yeah, no, G-Man, it was fascinating. And I know you would have been there if you could have, because it was just, man, there's so many things that were covered at this kind of spring media day at Safeco Field that, you know, normally it's, I don't want to say you don't learn much because you always learn something. But obviously this season, there's so many new people. There are new philosophies in the organization from the top down. And so you really, man, everybody in that room, I think, was just pounding away on the keyboard or with the pen and paper trying to take notes. I would say probably one of the most interesting people who talked, and in fact, we're going to have a chance, it'll be Shannon and Val and myself on the Hot Stove Show coming up on Tuesday. We'll have a chance to, from 7 to 9, for those listening in Seattle on 710 ESPN, we're going to have a chance to talk with Andy McKay, who takes over for Chris Gwynn as the Mariners Director of Player Development, basically the guy who oversees the Mariners farm system. And, man, he, what an interesting guy. He talked about kind of like four pillars of the minor leagues, a minor league player in the Mariners organization going forward. And a lot of it built around character. That's something that they really feel like they can coach. They feel like they can, they obviously want to find players with character, but they think that they can coach character, which is something I'm going to be interested in kind of learning more about from Andy Tuesday night. But Andy's got this really deep background in kind of the mental side, mental coaching, mental skills, which I know can be kind of ambiguous, but he's first and foremost, he's a coach, and he's got this type of experience of the same thing in Colorado. And, man, he really was impressive and an interesting guy. But McKay talked, Jeff Kingston talked. I'm glad he's still with the organization, working as the assistant GM. And I thought, and G-Man, I think you'll find this interesting. To me, the best quote of the day, interested in your thoughts on this, came from Kingston. He referenced last season, he said, where he thought that the Mariners failed the most as an organization last year was with consistent communication. He specifically referenced Zunino and also Chris Taylor. And obviously, Gary, you know as well as I do, it seems like every time we hear Jerry talk, the word communication always kind of comes up. And we heard that again today or yesterday at this point with Andy McKay and Scott Service as well. I mean, you can tell that the communication is like the – you're going to put something on a billboard for the Mariners this year. That's the word. I mean, that's the buzzword for the Mariners.
Yeah, and for good reason, I think, because especially seemingly these days in baseball, that is more and more important to not only get, you know, the coaching staff on the same page with the front office, but also the entire minor league organization. It's just so important these days to get everyone on the same page and in as many aspects as you can, and clearly that is going to be a big emphasis for this team moving forward.
Yeah, and I'll kind of wrap it up with this in terms of media day. To me, the most interesting concept that was talked about was from Andy McKay, and he talked about how they plan on implementing a player plan for every player in the minor league system from Everett all the way up to Tacoma. And so you've got 25 guys on a team, you got 25 player plans, and so the way it works out is that one player every day is meeting with the manager, or and it sounded like maybe a pitching coach if you're a pitcher, maybe a hitting coach if you're a hitter, if maybe the manager's tied up. But in any event, you're meeting with either the manager or one of the position coaches once a month, once every 25 days, a player a day, to kind of look at what your plan is and where you are in that plan and assessing it. So that, I mean, you're having that type of follow-up and maintenance to your career and how you are doing individually basically once a month. And that way, when Andy McKay shows up in Clinton, for example, or Tacoma or Jackson, and he's going to put on a uniform and he's going to be in the dugout as he wants to be very hands-on, he said, he can go into the Mariners internal database and pull up Clinton's all 25 player pages for Clinton and see what Gary's doing, what Aaron's doing, what they need to do better at, what they've succeeded at. It goes back to the communication, and it sounds like not a single player is going to be left in the dark with what is expected of them and where they are in meeting those expectations every step of the way.
Well, mine was pretty easy. I've succeeded at nothing, and I needed to prove it. So mine's pretty simple. But now the concept's fantastic, and I'm very anxious to see how this plays out organization-wide and see how it's implemented. And I know it's going to be a ton of work when you try to, I guess, overhaul an organizational philosophy, really, is what they're doing, which is pretty amazing. I'm excited to see the transition and see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's a lot to overhaul an organization, both from a mental standpoint, for lack of a better phrase, but also from a personnel standpoint. Jerry's been incredible with what he's been able to wheel and deal when you think about the limitations that he's had this offseason. And so I think Jerry's very happy with what this winter has yielded for him, and I think we would all agree. Everybody's got a guy that they wish the Mariners didn't trade. I mean, every fan feels that way. It could be multiple players. But I think overall you have to be happy. The blueprint that Jerry put out there during his introductory press conference, he has lived up to it. I mean, he has made steps in those directions. And the blueprint, I think we both agree, Gary, was a very sound one, and one that you kind of went, well, yeah. Like, why hasn't this happened before? Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just that difficult. Who knows? But it's been a great winter for Jerry and his crew, and I think we're all excited to get to Arizona and then hopefully get to April, everybody healthy, and see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you more about the plan as well, especially from the player side and how and all the changes, roster changes, everything like that. That will be a conversation for another day. But I want to talk a little bit about FanFest since it's this weekend, and you're going to be there. You're the headliner, right, of FanFest?
I think I'm like second. I'm right below the fold, I think, is how it works out.
Now, if you've not been to FanFest, it is, you got to go. It's fantastic. I mean, around the bases, clubhouse tours, players are going to be there. It's fantastic.
It's a great time. Well, first of all, it's fun to be at the ballpark again.
Yes.
First, let's start with that.
Yes. That is such a great call.
Yeah, it's just great to be at the ballpark again. I'll tell you, I was out there, of course, for media day, and I went out into the field, and Bob Christopherson, the head groundskeeper, we hear his voice on radio commercials all the time during the season. Bob was working hard, man. I mean, he's not just a pitch man. He was out there working awfully hard in the field. Oh, it just looks gorgeous. It is as green as can be. It would be the envy of any neighborhood in all the Northwest. So the field's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great to see that again. The ballpark is yours. I mean, the ballpark is yours to explore for the day. Saturday and Sunday, 11 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. Tickets are $10, or they're free for kids 14 and under. So obviously it's just a terrific family outing. We'll have dugout dialogues going on all day long. Well, the Hot Stove broadcast live on Tuesday, or pardon me, Tuesday. That's when it normally is. A special Hot Stove show on Saturday from the concourse. So stop by and say hello to Rick, Shannon, and Kevin and myself. But then they got I think they got the zip line back again.
Yes.
They've got autograph sessions. You can get down on the field a little bit. And a lot of great headliners, including Kyle Seager, who I don't know, you're interested in your take, G-Man. I think Seager's the most popular Mariner outside of Felix. I see more Seager jerseys, I think, than maybe anybody else, and for good reason. So Seager is going to be there. Taiwan, mm-hmm. James Paxton will be there. Charlie Furbush, Chris Iannetta will be there. And Steve Cishek, Mariner's new closer. I had a chance to spend some time with him on the caravan a couple of days ago. Steve's a very nice guy. He'll be there as well. So good chance to – and those are just a few of the players. Plenty more, so it's a good chance to get out and meet some of the guys.
Yeah, maybe you can get a Charlie Furbush bullpen banter greeting if you're lucky.
You know what bullpen banter has done for Charlie besides worldwide fame?
Right.
This is what it's done. Charlie has gotten to the point in his career where he is his own he is the only player a part of a session for dugout dialogue. It's not like Charlie and Chris Iannetta.
Nice.
Or Charlie and James Paxton. It's like Charlie and then like me and Rick. So, I mean, that's how big of a deal Charlie's become. So good for him. He deserves it.
Yeah, there's going to be some legends there as well. Jay Buhner, Julio Cruz, Dave Valle, Dan Wilson. It's going to be fun. Good time.
It's going to be great. I'm glad you mentioned those guys. Always fun to have those guys around too.
Yeah, so FanFest this weekend, 11 to 4 both days. Again, tickets $10. Kids 14 and under are free, and kids have the greatest time in the world. So I couldn't recommend it any higher. So I know this is a little bit shorter than our usual conversations that end up going kind of on and on and on. But we got to keep this one short. Before you go, though, anything you want to mention?
Boy, I'll tell you what. I was excited for the Mariners season.
Yes.
Of course, like all of us.
Uh-huh.
But after media day, G-Man, I got particularly excited.
Nice.
I think we're all kind of interested to see what Service is going to be like. I think Scott is interested to see what he's going to be like.
Sure.
I mean, why wouldn't he? First-year manager, first time ever. But I think the Mariners are in really good hands with Jerry DePoto. You know, one winter is not a career make for a guy like Jerry, and he would be the first to tell you that. But, man, I don't think you could ask for anything else from a general manager, whether he's been here for 10 years or been here for 10 months, from what we've seen from Jerry. We referenced it earlier. The overhaul has been incredible. There's going to be a lot of competition for various spots, including the rotation, lefty in the bullpen, platoon at first base. Stefan Romero is a name that's been mentioned as a guy who could get some time at first base as an option to platoon with Lind. So I'm absolutely thrilled for spring training to start up, as I know you are as well, and everybody listening. So a lot of good vibes going around Safeco Field, which was nice to be a part of, given how last year ended. It was nice to see a lot of upbeat people and a lot of optimism for good reason.
Yeah, I can't wait. Back at the ballpark this weekend, and boy, next time you're on, I can't wait till you kind of teased us there. I can't wait to get into some of the on the field a little bit more, because I think you're right. There's some very interesting questions heading into spring training. And I can't wait to talk about it. It's kind of right around the corner. So good stuff. Thanks for coming on.
Always good talking with you, G-Man.
Okay, hope to see you out at FanFest this weekend. It's great to visit with Aaron. Kind of shorter than we normally visit, but they'll get longer. Conversations coming up in the next few weeks, spring training and beyond. So right now, I can't wait. I got to play the montage now, and then we'll get to media day yesterday. So here is my final rendition of Ken Griffey Jr., in his Hall of Fame career. The final version. Here it is.
Ken Griffey Jr., welcome to the Hall of Fame.
You know he's got to be nervous. The wind and the 0-1 pitch swung out, and a fly ball into deep left center field. Back she goes, and it's off the base of the wall, 375 from home plate. Griffey on its second with a one-out double. Welcome to the big leagues, Ken Griffey Jr. Seattle, this kid's for real.
I saw him. As a 17-year-old kid, he came up as a 19-year-old kid.
Swung on and belted deep to left field. Headed to the track, the wall, fly away. Welcome to Seattle, Ken Griffey Jr. My, oh my.
You know, just electrified everybody.
Swing and a fly ball hit deep into right center field, and Jr. going back out, way back to the track. The wall, and makes the catch. Splatters into the wall.
Run like a deer, play defense, crashed into walls.
Swung on and a fly ball hit deep into the gap in right center field. The kid on his horse, back to the warning track. The wall makes the leap and makes an unbelievable catch. My, oh my, he is down at the 380 marker, and it's one of the most incredible catches you will ever want to see.
Hit home runs.
Here's the pitch, swinging a drive deep to right center field.
Here comes the 3-0 pitch to Junior. He swings and a high fly ball belted Green to the track, the wall, number 56, fly away.
Just played with complete abandon, and you could see the joy of playing the game in his eyes.
There goes Joey. The pitch swung on and belted deep to right field. The Mariners have done it. Fly away. Junior with a two-run home run. The Mariners.
Greatest player I've ever seen, period, exclamation point, end of conversation.
Father and son taking the field for the first time. Ken Griffey Sr. trotting out to left field. Ken Griffey Jr. trotting out to center field.
And again, the 0-2 pitch to Griffey, swinging a high fly ball deep into left center field. White back to the 1-8 track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball! Ken
Griffey Sr.
He hit his. He touched home plate, and he said, that's how you do it, son. And then I got 3-0. They gave me the green light. And, you know, as a young hitter, 20 years old, you really don't get the green light.
Here's the pitch on the way, swinging a fly ball deep in the left field. Way back. Going back. Goodbye, baseball. They do it. The Griffeys with back-to-back home runs. And the story continues to get better and better and better.
And I couldn't wait to get to the dugout. And he made sure I shook everybody's hand before I shook his. Mm-hmm. And, yep. Yeah. And then we sat down next to each other. He said, he hit me on the leg. He said, you know what we did? Yeah, we went back-to-back home runs.
Ken Griffey Jr., athlete.
Hey, Nick, finish. This is a Griffey for President commercial. You know he's running for president, right?
Hung on that Belton. Deep to right. Junior has hit number 100.
And the 2-2 pitch to Junior. Swung on and belted deep to right field. Back is O'Leary to the track. Fly.
Fastball at time belted deep to right field. Number 400 is on its way. There it goes.
Hey, get in here, Junior.
Well, all eyes are on this young man right now as he stands in. Griffey 0-2 tonight. And the first pitch from Banks is welcome.
There it goes. See you later. Upper deck. Griffey has tied the major league record. Holy cow, the kid has done it. Home runs in 8 consecutive games.
There's nothing he couldn't do on a baseball field, and he did it so gracefully. A wonderful hitter that could hit for average, he could hit for power, he could drive in runs, he could steal a base, he could score from first on a double. Good RBI guy. And then at the same time, you put him out there defensively, and he was as good a center fielder as there was in baseball. He could go from left center to right center. He made a few plays out here that I still can't fathom how he made them.
Slider swung on and a high fly ball hit into deep left center field. Back goes Griffey. He's back to the wall. Makes the leap, and does he make the catch? He does! My, oh my, another Griffey piece of magic as Ken Griffey Jr. takes a home run away from Jesse Barfield.
That swing, that sweet, smooth swing.
Played the game with the joy of a little leaguer. You know, he always had that infectious smile on his face.
Everybody's wearing a backwards hat. It didn't just come from anywhere. I mean, it came from Ken Griffey Jr. doing it in the All-Star games and home run derbies.
Oh, holy cow. That's 4.5. That may have hit the warehouse, and they announce it did.
It's really exciting. You know, it was Ken Griffey Jr. who actually initiated wearing a player wearing number 42 on Jackie Robinson Day, and now they all do. And we love it. My family loves it. It's a great honor to my father.
You have certain guys who have changed the world, and he was one of them. You know, you look at the draft and where kids are coming from, and you know, free agency from all over the world to get opportunity to play baseball. And that would have never happened if he wouldn't have been as strong as he was to not fight and do the things that were necessary for everybody to basically reap the benefits of what he did.
Everything became very natural for him. His swing, his running, his ability to run and catch a ball and throw. It's why, I guess, a long time ago when we played together in Seattle, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was the natural.
And this is the final curtain call at the King Dome for the Mariners. From the stretch, Garcia's 1-0 pitch is swung on and hit well to center field. Griffey going back. He's at the track. He leaps, and he makes the catch. Holy cow, he got it. Oh, my. He got it. He took a home run away from Gonzalez. And side retired. One of the better catches by Griffey.
Here's the pitch on the way to Junior. Swinging a drive deep to right field down the line. There it goes. Goodbye, baseball. He did it. Holy smoke. Ken Griffey Jr. with a 3-run homer. Mariners take the lead. 3-2 over the Rangers. Number 377 for Junior. And there go the flash bulbs.
The fans hoping to catch a little bit of the old-time religion right here, baby. With Junior stepping up to the plate, here comes the stretch. And the pitch to Junior on the way. Swing and a fly ball into deep right center field. That baby is going to be fly away.
Legion lives! Junior does it! A two-run home run! And we are tied at 3-3! My, oh my! Magic is back at least for a night!
Junior, right down on the knob of the bat, waving that black beauty right out toward Pavlik. Has it cocked, and Pavlik is set. The pitch on the way to Ken Griffey Jr., and it's swung on and belted! Deep to right field! Get out the right, Brett Grandma! It is grand salami time! I don't believe it! One swing of the bat, the first pitch, and Ken Griffey Jr. has given the Mariners a 6-2 lead over the Texas Rangers. The 2-2 pitch to Ken Griffey Jr. now from Dennis Cook. Here it comes, and it swung on and lined off the glove of the third baseman Ortiz. Here comes Strange. The Mariners win it 5-4. My, oh my! The Mariners are one game back of the California Angels. And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on and lined down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh my.
So I hope you enjoyed that. From Media Day yesterday, a couple of things I thought were very interesting. Let's hear from Jerry Dipoto, general manager, talking about this upcoming season.
I look back at this offseason and feel like we talked about the idea of being more athletic in the outfield, and I believe we are. We talked about better acclimating or building a ball club to Safeco Field, and I believe that we've done that. We talked about building depth on a pitching staff, and you know that may be numbers 1, 2, and 3 in terms of what you want to do in any offseason. And I feel like we have addressed that need to the best degree that we could. And you know, whether it's the 12 guys that we'll break camp with in April or the 20-some-odd pitchers that are likely to pitch for us in 2016, we feel very confident that going into the season, we've created as much depth as we could. One of the ways that we have measured controlling the strike zone is just simply looking at the walk-strikeout ratios. The goal being to keep them as close to even as possible. Or in a perfect world, you turn into Edgar Martinez and you can flip the tables. Most of the players that we have brought on board do these things very well. And you know, in a subtle way, we've changed the way the line of scrimmage works for us. And, you know, home plate in baseball is very similar to the line of scrimmage in football. We're going to control that line as best we can. Guys like Chris Iannetta and Adam Lind, Boog Powell, who is yet to play in the big leagues, but he historically has done this very well. Nobody in the big leagues today does it any better than Nori Aoki. He draws a fair amount of walks. He doesn't strike out very much. He's the hardest player to strike out in baseball. Fact. And you know, if that and over the course of time, that plays out. You know, it's a leadoff skill. He's on base 34-35% of the time, and history says he will do that. I'm not counting on getting the best year that Nori Aoki has ever had. We're not counting on having the best year that Chris Iannetta will ever have, nor Adam Lind or Robbie Cano or Nelson Cruz. But their skill sets suggest that they can do these things consistently. And if they go out and perform to their skill set, like just the way they do, and they all do it in tandem, we should be able to string out a 9-man lineup that will always create traffic. And if we have traffic with Kyle Seager and Robbie Cano and Nelson Cruz sitting in the middle of a lineup, we should score runs. I believe this club is as well suited as anybody to compete in the West. It's a tough division. You know, the Astros are coming back, and it's a very gifted young team with high upside. The Rangers are the defending champs. Haven't made any significant offseason changes, but the full season of Cole Hamels isn't going to hurt, and I'm sure at some point Yu Darvish will return. Obviously, I've got experience over the last handful of years with the Angels, and I know what they're capable of, particularly the guy that pulls the sled in center field. And and never undersell the Oakland A's. I think they've got one of the smartest groups of people in the league, from the dugout to the front office, and they wind up putting good products on the field more often than not. So, you know, our goal is to go out there. We will start the season with the idea that we're going to get into the mid-80s. We built the roster with the idea to get into the mid-80s. And if you can get in that 85, 86 win zone and then let the chips fall where they may, it's amazing how frequently you're going to wind up winning a lot more games than that. But it's all going to be about the culture that we develop. And, you know, we will make strategic mistakes. We will have injuries. Every team does. But one thing we cannot do is we can't allow our culture to rattle. And the players are going to know that we believe in them. We're going to put them in situations to succeed, and we're going to be genuine. And I think we have a lot of talent. Like I said a moment ago, I think our starting pitching staff is as deep as anyone's in the division. But when you've got Robbie Cano and Nelson Cruz and Kyle Seager and Felix Hernandez, there's some star value with that group. And, you know, we did a fair amount of lifting to create a group around them that we feel like can support what they do. But I don't think we'll be defined by one player. I do think we'll be a 25-man unit. And when we look up in September, we want to be playing meaningful games with a chance to go play for a playoff spot. That's the goal.
And here's the skipper talking about this upcoming season.
You know, the offseason has gone very fast. You know, getting the opportunity to get this job and sit in this seat. You know, what I've been up to is basically connecting with our players, talking to them as many as I can. I made a trip to the Dominican, talked with a few of our guys down there. So trying to get a feel for where they're at and, you know, along the way, give them an opportunity to get a feel for what I'm about. So I like the versatility. I like the athleticism. I think to win, you got to pitch. To have a good pitching, you got to defend. And we got a lot better there, I think, especially in our outfield defense. So I'm excited about that. I think also we are going to play a high number of one-run games. I just believe it. In this ballpark, it's hard to blow people out or get blown out. You're going to play tight games. So the ability to get on base and create consistent opportunities to score, and it's not just you bang a double off the wall and somebody gets a hit to drive them in, or you hit one out of the park. It's a walk. It's a hit. We move a guy over. It's a sack fly. It's different ways to score. And the more athletic you are, the better chance you got of that happening. That's why I like the club. Between Jack Benoit, Steve Cishek, you know, Charlie hopefully is healthy and good to go. Tony Zick, we like what we saw last year. I know the group that's back. So we've got power. We've got left-handed. You got experience. You got a side armor. There's options, you know. As I've often said, you know, rookie managers, and I'm in that category right now, the thing that makes you look good is a really good bullpen. You know, those guys are going to be key. For us, like you said, in the one-run games, keep us there, hold leads. Biggest thing, I guess, to instill confidence in them and give them the ball, you know. And I think we're going to be just fine. I really do. It's going to be much different than what we've seen in other camps. And there's a reason. We're trying to get a different result. I think if you want to get a different result, you got to do something different. And I know it's kind of a pet peeve of mine when I hear somebody say, well, we don't do that here. We've never done that before. We do it this way. You got to be open to change. Change is uncomfortable. You're just not used to it. But we're talking about changing the culture. You got to do something different. So we'll have a few more team meetings, get together as a group regularly. And that's not so much to talk a lot of baseball. It's to get to know each other. We have to create a family-type atmosphere around our team. And to do that, you got to get to know.
And finally, here's trainer Rick Griffin talking about some of the injury updates heading into spring training.
Jesus was injured about 2 weeks ago, actually about 10 days ago, down in Venezuela, sliding into second base. Suffered a fractured fibula and a severely sprained ankle. And we flew him up here to Seattle, and he had surgery this week by Dr. Calfane. And he'll miss probably 6 months, unfortunately. And it's his right ankle. So that's unfortunate for him. He's actually here right now doing therapy and rehab. But he's going to miss a minimum of 6 months. Second one, I'm sure you want to know about Robinson. Robinson had muscle core injury on both right and left sides. He had surgery by Dr. Myers last year. And it went very, very well. He is down in the Dominican Republic working out, running, throwing. He's not having any issues, and he'll be coming into spring training, and we'll monitor him accordingly, but we don't anticipate any problems with that injury. I don't think too many people could have played through what he played through. He struggled at times running, and some of his movement patterns were different, but he wanted to stay on the field and he wanted to play. And it was determined by the medical staff, after consulting with various physicians, that it would be okay for him to continue to play because we knew he was going to end up having the surgery. So he, I mean, seriously, there's not too many people I think could have gone out there and played or would have gone out there and played the way he did.
Rick, one of your assistant coaches went on the radio and said that Felix's ulnar collateral ligament is a 20% degraded and that it's an issue going forward. Is there any truth to that? And I mean, all pitchers obviously have some degradation to that.
I don't know the exact percent. And what you just said is true. All pitchers, especially after they have 2,000 innings. And I think that everybody's got some damage in their ligament. But he's not missed a start because of his elbow the entire time that he's been here with us. So, you know, we do everything we can to keep him on the field. And we concentrate and focus on all different areas. So I don't know. I don't know how the 20% came.
Sashi Iwakuma, the stuff with the Dodgers, the failed physical, or the questions with the physical, how comfortable are you after what you saw at the end of last season, your exit physical with him going forward?
I'm 100%. I don't have any concerns, and neither does our orthopedist, our physician, or we wouldn't have, you know, got him back. That I don't know what happened there. I mean, I'm not going to speculate on what happened. I have no idea, but I'm glad that he's back here. I know he's glad. We know his body and we know him very well. We know what we need to do to try to keep him on the field. So, I mean, I think everything will be fine.
And finally, I can't think of a better way to end. This is Dave Niehaus talking about his introduction to baseball. I hope you enjoy this.
Do you remember how you were introduced to baseball? My hometown is a little town of about 7,000 people in southern Indiana, Princeton, Indiana. I was introduced to baseball, not Major League Baseball, but through school, going to school, playing high school baseball, American Legion baseball. But I was introduced to big league baseball by listening to the radio, KMOX in St. Louis, for example, listening to Harry Carey. And it was before the days of television, and it wasn't too long after I started listening to Harry Carey, I got hooked, and I listened to every Cardinal game out on the porch, on the swing with the some lemonade, sometimes roasting ears with Dad, too, and he always seemed to be a big part of my baseball experience. And finally, he decided to take me to see a Major League Baseball game. Now, you can imagine when you listen game after game after game on the radio, what kind of an image you have. And I had these ballplayers put on such a high plateau, they were darn near gods. So we jumped in the car, and we drove about to 6-7 hours from Princeton, Indiana, to St. Louis, Missouri, to Old Sportsman's Park in St. Louis. It preceded Busch Stadium. And now, of course, this year, Busch Stadium, the old Busch Stadium, is no longer. And the new Busch Stadium is enjoying its first year. And believe it or not, I didn't go to a Cardinal game. I went to a St. Louis Browns game and saw the St. Louis Browns and the New York Yankees. And the Browns were, quite frankly, terrible during those years. But it just so happened that it was a Browns game, and I wanted to see the Yankees. And as they came out, I saw them come out of the dugout, and my dreams, quite frankly, were shattered because there they were in flesh and blood, and I had put them on such a high plateau. I'll tell you the truth. I was disappointed in the game. Not in the game, but in the ballplayers because, you know, it's almost ethereal to imagine, let the mind play games with you. And I got to be honest with you, I don't even remember who won the game. But I got in the car, and Dad and I drove back, and all we did was chat about the game and chat about the different ballplayers. And I went back home, and I think that's maybe when I grew up. You know, I quit having fantasy dreams, but I never did lose my love of the game of baseball, and I never have. And until I go to my grave, I never will.
See you later!